vision statement and taking it kind of a section at a time, divided up into about three sections. Our last third is going to be divided into another thirds. So we've got one, two, three, and then our third is one, two, three. So we have we talked about in our first section last month. We talked about how we want to be visibly connected to the heart of Christ in a series that was called The Heart of Christ. This month, we're talking in June about hope, about the middle section of our vision statement. So our vision statement is being a church visibly connected to the heart of Christ by actively bringing hope to our community. And then the last section is going to be, we'll start into that next week, and that'll be July and August, where we're going to be talking about serving, transforming, and reproducing, all under one umbrella there. So to serving, transforming, and reproducing others to the same heart and actions. So today we're finishing the series on hope by going to a hope-filled chapter, Romans chapter 8. So if you want to go to Romans chapter 8, you can. We're going to be just camped out there the whole day. We're going to start in verse 18 and go all the way to the very end of the chapter. So we've got a lot of ground to cover. Today we're going to be reflecting on hope, that hope gives us something to look forward to. We have something to look forward to. Sometimes it's hard to remember that when considering the environment we live in. We live in a fallen world where we see natural disasters all around us, things like tornadoes, ice storms, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis. We see diseases, and from leprosy in Jesus' time to the Black Plague that took millions of lives to our current battles with cancer. Things from light asthma to cystic fibrosis, from heartburn to heart disease, from panic attacks to heart attacks, from sinus headaches to aneurysms. There are many different sources of our natural suffering simply because of the environment we live in, that this environment is a fallen environment. It is a fallen earth. It's filled with fallen people, and we experience suffering because of fallen people. Fallen people who will sometimes take advantage of you. And sometimes it's as simple as taking advantage of you through a business transaction. Other times it's a little more serious when it deals with physical, mental, sexual, or emotional abuse. People, fallen people who are fully capable of hurting and cutting with words. People who can act out in anger or jealousy, or people who are dishonest and they lie. So we've got natural sufferings that happen from the natural fallen earth. We have fallen people, and included in that are our own decisions as a fallen person we'll call suffering on ourselves. As Christians, we have an additional suffering that some people who call themselves Christians, they will suffer simply because of where they place their faith. That their faith is in God, and they will suffer because of that. But we have something to look forward to. My hope keeps me focused on, and let's write this down, my future environment. So all the suffering that I was just speaking about deals with our current environment. See, the bad news is that suffering will happen here. It will happen here. That's the bad news. All of those things that were just listed, and many, many, many more. Suffering will happen because we live in a fallen environment, but we have the hope of a future environment. This environment is only temporary. See, the bad news is that suffering will happen here, but the good news is that we will leave all of this behind someday. Can I get an amen? We will leave all of this behind someday. That's the good news. I'll let you guys write that down before we pull scripture up on the screen. We good? No. The good news is we will leave all of this behind someday. Starting in verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. We have a future environment. Our present sufferings, They aren't going to compare to the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. The creation waits in eager expectation. We're going to be breaking this down in a minute. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope, there's that word, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now, this is a hard concept to grasp, that our physical world is fallen as the result of a human sin. A human's decision caused the whole world to fall, because this decision caused a separation between God and his creation. Death entered through one man, Adam. This is talked about three chapters before chapter 8 and chapter 5. This environment was not the intended environment. This is a fallen environment. And Paul's point is that this environment even realizes that it's fallen. And it's frustrated because of that. And it groans. It is filled with frustration. And it groans as in the pains of childbirth. Now, some of you ladies might think that Paul is going overboard here. But throughout this whole section that I just read, Paul is using very strong language in a number of different places, creating pictures. This also is, it's just geniusly written, because it parallels all the way back to the garden. Because when it talks about the creation groaning as in the pains of childbirth, that's connected to the curse that was given to woman after the sin, after the fall of man. After the fall of man, God cursed the serpent, he cursed the man, he cursed the woman. To the woman, he said in verse 16 of chapter 3, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children." So Paul is connecting the fall of man to the frustrations and the agony that the earth, the creation, is going through. That it's groaning as in pains of childbirth. The groans are of someone suffering in agony, looking for the liberation of its bondage to decay. The sin of man didn't just bring death to humanity, it brought death and decay to the whole creation. The creation that was supposed to be ruled and cared for by man was no longer the ally, but the antagonist. As God hands out the curse to man, we see how this directly is connected to the creation. To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." So this curse that humans brought on themselves, they didn't only bring it on themselves, they brought the curse to the earth, to the creation as well. So the creation groans. The creation is frustrated. Now the other side of this that we just read about was you've got the frustration and the groans, but on the other side of this, we're told that the creation waits in eager expectation. And this, once again, this is another strong term here. Paul doesn't just say that the creation is waiting, that it anticipates redemption, but it eagerly awaits for it. There's an emphasis placed on that. It's a strong term. This frustrated, groaning world is in eager expectation of what? For the hope that is in us. For the hope that is in us. When we, the sons of God, are fully revealed, not in our humanly form, but in our final heavenly form, there will be a new heaven and a new earth that will accompany our new bodies, our new form. We're told about the new earth and the new heaven in Revelation 21. Among other places. Based on verse 18 of what we just read, let's write this down. The glory that will be revealed in me is greater. Everyone say greater. Greater. Than anything. And everyone say anything. The glory that will be revealed in me is greater than anything I will suffer in my current environment. See, we have hope because we have something to look forward to. We have a future environment. Even our environment knows that it's not in the right place. And it eagerly waits and it groans and it's frustrated, waiting for its redemption that comes through us. See, the glory that will be revealed in me is greater than anything I will suffer in this current environment. Paul then launches from the creation longing for its resurrection to us. Verse 23, he says, not only so, talking about the environment, not only so does the environment groan, not only so does the environment eagerly await, but we ourselves, yes, even us, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. There's those strong words again. Wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Some of you might say, well, we are saved, and we've talked about this, that yes, there's a moment where you are saved, but then there's a moment where it's going to be finalized. So we have a redeemed soul living in a fallen body. One day we will have a redeemed body as well. And that's what he talks about here. The adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, making it very clear that Paul is talking about the final result of our redemption. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So my hope keeps me focused on my future environment. My hope keeps me focused on my future condition. Let's write that down. My hope keeps me focused on my future condition, the act of my redemption. The act of my redemption. We eagerly wait for our adoption as sons to be redeemed. The redemption of our bodies, the final result, the end of it all. As Christians, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have been set aside. In this hope, we were saved. Our souls have been redeemed. We've made our reservations, so to speak. But we are waiting for our new bodies, which we will get when our redemption is complete. And the hope of this final existence is a reminder that I am made for a better existence, one I don't fully have yet. See, we have a hope in our future condition, that we have a hope that I am made for a better existence, one I don't fully have yet. It's frustrating to live as a fallen person. The physical world is frustrated, and I can't really relate to that. I can't really understand that. I'm not a tree. I'm not a mountain. I don't know how they can have this kind of reaction, but according to Paul, the creation is frustrated, and it groans in agony, and it waits eagerly. I can't relate to that because I'm a different part of the creation. What I can relate to is the second part that Paul talks about. That I, as a Christian, I groan. I eagerly await the redemption of my body because I know what it's like to live in a fallen body. I know what it's like to have a redeemed soul living in a fallen body. It's a war. Paul talks about this in the chapter before, in chapter 7. I'm just going to read this to you. It's lengthy and a little bit, it twists around. So I'll try and make sure I get all the words right. Paul says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is a sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. This is describing the frustration of what it's like to live as a redeemed soul in a fallen body. For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. How many of you guys can relate to this? That when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man am I. Boy, we've felt that way before. We've been there before. We understand Paul's, we can relate to this frustration of being a fallen person who knows that we have a better condition waiting for us, but we're not there yet. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. We've been there before. We've all been there, caught between two worlds, caught between two existences. And we know down deep inside of us that the sin in our life does not fit with the redeemed soul, with the redeemed spirit made in us from the time when we gave our life to Christ. We know that our sinful choices do not sit well with the Holy Spirit who is living inside of us, and it is a war that wages inside the Christian. And it is a frustrating existence. And we groan and we long for and we eagerly wait for the hope that we hold on to. Because we have a better condition to look forward to. We have a future condition. We have a better condition, but we're not there yet. So what do? We hope. We hold on to our future hope. We are made for a better existence. So we hope for something better. The redemption of our bodies. And we can focus our hope on our future condition because I'm made for a different existence, a better existence, but I'm not there yet. This also includes the time, not just the act of my redemption, but the time of our redemption. My hope keeps me focused on my future condition, the act of my redemption, and the time of my redemption. Let's write that down. The time of my redemption. I will be redeemed, but it hasn't fully happened yet. There's hope there. And if we focus on that hope, then we're going to live differently. Paul says the hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already hopes for? We read this just a moment ago. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it patiently. It will come. It will be here. We will be redeemed, fully redeemed. And I know it's frustrating. We like to have things now. We're a now society. We are a fast food society. We want to order it, pay for it at one window, and pick it up at the next. We don't like to wait. But we have to wait for this. And we need to let patience drive our hope. And let hope empower our patience. We have this hope, a hope of a better existence, a hope that one day we will enter heaven and have a better environment. And we hang on to this hope because we have something to look forward to. Continuing in verse 26, Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us in groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So as we wait for this redemption, as we wait, we have the hope and the assurance that the Spirit in me is greater, say greater, than any, say any. The Spirit in me is greater than any of the weaknesses I have in my current condition. The Spirit in me is greater than any of the weaknesses I have in my current condition. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weaknesses. One of the biggest ways that he helps us in our prayers. He intercedes for us. We have hope along the way. Our hope isn't just in what is in the future. We have a hope because we have something to look forward to, but this hope is twofold, and we're going to kind of turn a corner here as we continue on through Romans chapter 8. The first side of this hope of having something to look forward to is the obvious side of it, that we have a future environment. We get a chance to leave this one behind for something better, for a better environment, a much better environment. We have a future condition that we will be redeemed, fully redeemed. The other side of this hope is that we have something to look forward to, and that helps us to see hope here and now, in the present. This future hope reminds us of God's present activity in our life because God is always working towards the future hope in our lives. Let's write this down. The hope of my future victory reminds me of God's present involvement in my life. The hope of my future victory reminds me of God's present involvement in my life. There's a few words there. I'll give you a moment. Actually, I'll let you guys write that. Ryan, I want to skip having this verse up on the screen. It's a verse you guys are familiar with. So as you're writing, I'll read this verse. It's Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So when we look at our current environment, the fallen world around us that groans in agony. We see these things happen to us because of this fallen environment, because we have fallen people around us. The result of disease and sicknesses we see around us. The result of someone else's bad decision affecting our lives. The result of our own bad decisions affecting our lives. And yet we are assured that even in those times when we are feeling the effects of living in a fallen world, a cursed environment, that God is working for the good of those who love him. That God is taking even those things that are happening to us as a result of our environment, and he is working for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God turns results from my current environment into victories along the way. This is where we see God's present involvement in my life. And we can go to that. That's the next. There we go. Thank you. God turns results from my current environment into victories along the way. God works for the good in all things, not just in some things or a few things, not even so far as a majority of the things. This verse says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Our future, the hope that we have something to look forward to, it reminds us that God has involvement in our lives today. I get to watch God have victories along the way. This is in our current environment. This also is in our current condition. Verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So not only does God turn the results from my current environment into victories, but God turns the weaknesses from my current condition into victories. He takes the weaknesses from my current condition into victories along the way. God is working to conform us to the likeness of his Son. We are being made to look like Jesus now, not just at the redemption of our bodies, but that happened at the time when we gave our life to Christ. Since the day we gave our life to him, he is making us to be more like his Son. All of mankind, God has designed a destiny for us all to be made into the likeness of Jesus. We were predestined for this. God has predestined us and called us to this destiny. But it's up to us to choose this destiny. It's up to us to hear his calling and obey. So we have the chance to choose this destiny or deny this destiny. When we accept God's calling on us, when we hear God calling, we accept it and we answer it and we choose this destiny, then we give our lives over to him. We give our lives over to his lordship. We give our destiny over to him and accept the destiny he has planned for us. And through this, we are justified now, and we will be glorified when our victory is complete. So we have this as a part of our future hope. We have God's involvement in our lives here and now, working to bring victories in our current environment, working to bring victories in our current condition. God is involved and we experience his power in our lives. Verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Who's the judge? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who is raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. In addition to the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself is interceding for us. So the hope of my future victory, it reminds me of God's present power in my life. Not just God's present involvement, but also his present power. We know that God did not spare his only son. He gave him up for us all. If we believe in that level of power, that level of sacrifice, that level of giving, then Paul says, how will he not also, along with him, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? If you believe this, and this is our future hope, then look at all the things that God's going to take care of us here and now with also. So our future hope reminds us of the current power that God has in our life and how he is giving us, graciously giving us all things now, even now. If God is for us, then who can be against us? God's power is not just for the future that we're looking forward to. His power is not just in our future hope. But God's power is in our present lives. If he is for us, who can be against us? Who can bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? Nobody. Who's going to condemn us? That's up to Jesus. You know, the same guy that loved you so much that he gave his life for you. And more than that, Paul says that God raised him from the dead. That guy, he's the only guy that can condemn you. None of the other people here. So we get the chance to experience God's power in our life now. Jesus, who intercedes for us. We have the Holy Spirit interceding for us, and we also have the power of Jesus interceding for us. Not just on the day of judgment, not just at the end of times, but now. He is so now. God's power is in our lives now. God is involved in our lives now. God's power is in our lives now. And we know that God is connected to us now. Verse 35 and finishing the chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the hope of my future victory reminds me of God's present connection in my life. The hope that we have in the future that we're looking forward to, that we will live with God forever, that we will leave our current environment behind and live in a better environment. We will leave our current environment behind and we will live where we will not be separated from God. That's a future hope of ours. We will leave our current condition and live in a condition where we will be unhindered by the sin inside us, the sinful nature inside of us. That's our future hope. That's what we have to look forward to. But this connection to God isn't just for the future. It's here and now also. And our future hope reminds us of what we have today. God's present involvement. God's present connection in our life today. God is presently connected to us in spite of our fallen environment. In spite of our fallen condition. That's how powerful God is, and nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us from our connection to God here and now. Sure, we will have a more complete form of this connection to look forward to, and that's what we hope for, but that doesn't mean that we are disconnected while we are in this environment or while we are struggling in this condition. Our future hope reminds us of God's present connection in my life. And as you look at your bulletins, we've kind of got section one and section two. They're kind of divided up. You see that? I didn't have them labeled, but they're pretty clear. Section two, the things that we just looked at, God's present involvement in our life, God's present connection in our life, God's present power in our life. That second section of notes is how we can share with others the hope that we have in the first section. We all have stories of God's involvement in our life here and now. We all have stories of God's power in our life here and now. We all have stories of God's connection to our life here and now. Stories that have their root in the future. They don't have their root here in the present and grow into the future. It's backwards. The present hope we have is rooted in the hope that we have in the future. It's like an upside down tree if you're looking at it from heaven down. The roots are the hope that we have in our future. The flowers that we see here today come from those roots. And it's the fruit or the flowers that we get a chance to share with others to point them to where our roots find our hope. Are you with me? We've been talking this month about how to share this hope. We all have stories of this. The stories of God's present activity in our life, they point to the future hope that we have as Christians. All of the stories that we have here are shadows of our future. The future is the reality. The present is the shadows. And that idea comes from Hebrews. See, God's present activity is a shadow of the future we have. You have people in your life that don't have the hope that you have. They do not have a future environment to look forward to. They do not have a future condition to look forward to. So take the stories you have of God's present involvement in your life and attach them to the future hope that you have. If you have a story of God's present involvement in your life, how he took a bad situation and he turned it around to make a victory out of it. When you have a chance to share that story with someone, connect that story to the roots. Connect that story to the future hope you have. If you have a story about God's present power in your life, how God's power was displayed, as you're sharing that story of God's power, don't just leave it here and now. Let them see how that's connected to the future hope you have and how the power that you saw here has its roots in the power that you're going to experience in the future, and they can have that hope as well as the hope for today. If you have a story of God's present connection in your life, how you felt God near or you were comforted by him or you felt his guidance during a certain decision, don't just share about that story. But allow that connect up to the roots and how God's involvement in your life is actually involved in his future involvement that you're looking forward to, the hope that you have of being involved with God forever in eternity without the current condition or current environment interrupting that. Use those stories to launch into discussions about where the root of your hope is. Allow the fruits and the flowers of what we experience here. Allow people to see the true connection they have. Because you know that that's where they're connected. The word has explained to us that's where it's connected. Other Christians might know when you share stories down here that that's where it's connected. But those who don't have that hope, that need that hope, they're going to need your help to connect these stories to that. Christians, we have something to look forward to. We have hope. So let's let this hope keep us focused. Let this hope remind you of God's present activity in your life and share this hope any chance you get.